deploy words into my ear now.
Trent Hauser, enjoying this bus ride? It'll be your last.
Thank God. Hate the bus.
No.
I mean, because you're about to die.
Really? Like in the metaphorical or literal sense?
Pop quiz, hotshot. There's a bomb on the bus that detonates if the bus goes faster than 0 miles per hour. And if anyone tries to get off the bus, they die.
What do you do?
Not really a pop quiz. More of a question.
It's a pop quiz. You have to think fast.
A pop quiz is 5 or 10 questions.
A quiz can consist of one question.
A question is a question. That's what it is.
Well, whatever. 0 miles an hour.
So I have to prevent this bus from moving.
Partial credit.
You also have to get me $10 million in unmarked bills. And don't try anything funny. I'm watching you.
And the hick next to you. And the guy next to him. And everyone on that bus.
And one more thing you should know that's most
important. Okay, hold on a second. I got a call waiting.
Welcome to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks Internet Radio Program. I am Mike. I am joined, of course, by my co-host, Napier.
What's up?
And via Skype, Mr. Travis Hulse.
Second time this week, baby.
Phone number to contact show 636-487-HAND or WFOD show on Skype. Oh, guys. Hey, you know who else is here? I got so used to my spiel, John.
I'm sorry.
I forgot to introduce you. Joining us this week, Drunkard STL on the Twitters, everybody.
So exciting.
He is back. He's back from the grave. Drunk, how are you, my man?
Yeah, I'm good.
You're good? Well, as you know, we are now live Monday nights on StrangeLabel.com. That is where we are. And what I did was I set up the station to receive music submissions.
Any good ones?
Oh, yeah. Whatever happened to that show that you guys ran on?
I don't really know. I don't know necessarily like what we're going to do with these. We get a lot of them. We get a ton of music submissions to the station, and like some of them are fun and some of them are pretty bad. But I got one the other day, and so I haven't decided necessarily what we're going to do with this, because we have all these music submissions. We're probably going to do some kind of music show at some point, but we haven't gotten there yet. We're just stockpiling all of these independent musicians that are sending us
that are highly talented.
Drunk, I got one the other day.
Okay.
That I'm so excited about.
Sure.
I want this to be like the biggest thing on earth. He sent me a link to his
let me put on my headphones.
His YouTube videos and stuff, and they
oh, is this that? Yeah. Yeah. This should be like our theme song.
I love this song more than I've ever loved anything, Napier.
Okay.
Really?
And I want to share it with the...
Stop teasing me. I want to hear it.
I want to share it with the WFOD listeners. I want you guys all to love it as much as I do. Are you ready?
Ready.
Napier, I guarantee you when I play this song, and I'm not going to tease you much longer, soon you will have it.
Please, Mike.
I guarantee...
I need it. I need it now.
When I play you this song, on your drive home, you are going to have this song stuck in your head. It is very catchy.
Excellent.
It'll
yes.
be stuck in your head. It will never go away. Travis, you've heard it, right?
I've heard it.
Haven't you found
it.
Yourself singing it to yourself?
It does pop into my head rather frequently. Actually,
it happens.
Yes.
I've shared it with several people.
This should be like not the theme song for the show, but like it should be like our spirit song. You know what I mean?
Drunk, you're ready for this, right?
Man.
I've saved this for a few weeks because I knew that if anybody would appreciate it, you would.
Let's do it.
Prozac music. Don't be up in the club like your booty don't stink. Like your booty don't stink. Like your booty don't stink. Don't be up in the club like your booty don't stink. Like your booty don't stink.
Don't be up in the club like your booty don't stink, drunk.
Like your booty don't stink. Like your booty don't stink. Don't be up in the club like your booty don't stink.
It's a good song, right?
It's fucking amazing.
I mean, just like right.
In the the party, shake that rumpa dumpa. Don't act like your booty don't stank and stuff.
Travis, this is a great song.
Like your booty don't stank and stuff.
I mean, I am not a very urban person. Like, I appreciate a good rap tune like the next guy, but this is a catchy song.
This is fucking
good. What is the artist's name again?
The artist's name is
you just had it open.
So
I don't remember who it was, Travis.
Oh no.
I need to have that.
Booty don't stink.
This would be
Bright Lights with a Z.
Yep, Bright Lights.
Featuring Prozac.
Bright Lights with a Z.
And that's where you can find him on YouTube as well. Bright Lights Music.
If I can highlight this guy in any way and draw awareness to Booty Don't Stink,
uh-huh.
It's my obligation to do so, right?
Absolutely.
Well, I think the only possible scenario that plays out of this is that we talk to Bright Lights.
Do we need to get Bright Lights on the show, Travis?
We might as well.
I'm pretty excited about Bright Lights. I can't tell what ethnicity he is from that picture. He might be a black guy.
I'm pretty sure.
He's sitting next to a pile of books.
One is Street Code. The other is Drug Addiction.
Hustle 101.
There's the Bible in the middle between Currency and what's that other one?
Ambition.
There's a book called Drug Addiction.
Hustle 101.
One that's just called Evil. But he's a well-read fellow that does some raps. And I love that song. The featured artist of October. We do like a featured artist of the month on strangelabel.com.
We do?
I was researching him a little bit. He's a fellow named Jay Randy. It's not Bright Lights with a Z. No, the Jay Randy, he will be the October artist of the month. I was reading about him a little bit, and he goes on these cruises. And I didn't know this was a thing. I told Travis about it, and he seems to already know about it, which I don't know how that's possible. Apparently, like these bands, like these 90s bands, go on like cruises. Their fans go on these Carnival cruise ships with the band, and like the band performs at night. During the day, it's just like a regular Carnival cruise. And they have all kinds of other musicians that play at these events.
And which bands are doing this?
311 is a big one. They did like
311 cruise.
Four of them, I think.
Apparently, there's a Weezer cruise.
Weezer cruise. That was the first time I heard of these music specific artists.
You could just get on a boat with Weezer.
That's two not bad artists right there.
And like you just go out on a Caribbean cruise with like-minded fellows who also like Weezer.
You think they do?
You gotta figure if you all have the shared love of Weezer, where you're going on a Carnival cruise. With Weezer fans, you probably agree on other things.
Do you think they do like
too.
The Alaskan cruise?
I don't know. I don't. That's.
I think I'd prefer to cruise Alaska than the Caribbean.
They all dock out of Florida typically. Like I knew that these cruises existed as like music festivals where there'd be like groups of bands where it'd be like Rock the Boat and it'd be like you know like eight metal bands or eight like hard rock bands and they'd go out there. But the Weezer cruise was the first time that I ever heard about it, and every single one that I've heard of is all docked out of Florida.
Why would you rather cruise Alaska? Isn't it cold? I'd rather go on a warm cruise.
Not in the summertime.
Alaska's still cold in the summertime, isn't it? Alaska's cold all the time. You get to see whales and shit. It's cool. Up
north. No, dude. When it's 100 degrees in St. Louis, you'll appreciate that Alaskan cruise, I guarantee you.
You're a whale guy? Into the whales?
I like not being hot.
See, I'd prefer hot.
Well, that's going to be something you're going to have to live with forever, man. Sexy.
<Burn! because. laughs> Man, shots fired up in here. Holy shit. Just slinging some lead.
He's right. You're a good looking fella.
Bro. I know it, man. I know it.
So
that is why we do the flat drunks, after all.
Right.
It's because of my super attractive.
This pussy train's never getting off.
See,
the
I
tracks.
Myself will take as hot as you could possibly make a person, as opposed to being slightly chilly. I don't like being chilly. Chile sucks.
You play ice hockey.
That's fine. It's fun. But I don't want to be cold. I hate snow. I hate being cold. I hate jackets. I want to be naked.
See, I prefer a hoodie. If I could wear a hoodie all year, that'd be cool.
I don't know. So you're on board for the 311 cruise.
Yeah.
What band would you, if you had your choice?
Just like, I like this scenario.
To go on a cruise with any band. I mean, obviously, for Travis, he'd probably want to go on the Prince cruise, right?
Yeah, that's exactly
Think of
it.
How crazy a Prince cruise would be.
So is this just like current bands or just anybody ever or?
I don't know, drunk.
Let's just say anybody ever. If you could go with any era of a musician or a band.
Bob Marley, Jamaican Cruise.
Oh, no, never mind. Forget I said it. Let's do something different. Current bands.
You don't drive around in your car listening to Bob Marley.
I do.
You don't.
I do.
You don't.
Okay.
Name five Bob Marley songs. please, drunk, name five Bob Marley songs.
Okay, the Redemption song.
See, now the problem with this is I have no way of verifying whether he actually knows the Redemption.
Because you do not know, in fact, five Bob Marley songs.
I challenge anyone in the world with a Bob Marley t-shirt to name five Bob Marley songs. What, No Woman, No Cry? Is that a Bob Marley song?
Absolutely.
That's the only one.
Exodus, I Shot the Sheriff. Three Little Birds.
I Shot the Sheriff.
Easy Skankin'.
Easy Skankin' is not a Bob Marley song. You just made that
absolutely
up.
A Bob Marley song.
Sing it.
Excuse me while I light my spliff, because I want to take a lift.
Okay, that's the start of every Bob Marley song, right? And it all has the exact same guitar, right?
That's dun, where I'm gonna dun, light my spliff.
Dun, 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 dun. Right? That's the Bob Marley guitar.
You can hate Bob Marley all you want, Mike. That's fine.
Did he name five?
I did.
Somebody do the research on the internet when you're listening to this and tell me if he got five right. If anybody in the world can name five Bob Marley songs, I dare you. Okay, so you're going on the Bob Marley.
Okay, fine. If it's current band.
Don't you feel like that would be you'd be the minority on the Bob Marley cruise?
No.
You think it'd be a lot of guys like you?
Yeah.
There would be plenty of white people on
the Bob
Marley
cruise. It
would be
all white guys. Every single person on that cruise would be a fucking white guy.
Probably.
Most of them would have dreads.
Bands that are still alive. I don't know, System maybe?
The System of a Down cruise?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I'd go on a cruise with Surge.
It'd be pretty cool.
Yell about fucking the system every night and
while he's on this cruise.
Yeah.
Do you think that, like, every...
That would have to be like a European cruise, though.
Okay,
that'd be
now,
cool.
If there's a System of a Down cruise, It'll only work if at 8 o'clock every morning of the cruise, he comes over the loudspeaker and goes, "Wake up!"
That's good.
If I could be on a cruise, I would want to be on the Shinedown cruise. So that whenever there was a band and they were
Napier
doing...
hates the band Shinedown.
Personally.
I thought he was going to say Nickelback, personally. But...
I don't like the band Shinedown either. I'm not a fan. Napier hates the band Shinedown.
Yeah. So what about you, Mike? Who's yours?
Smashing Pumpkins cruise.
Yes, I should have called that one.
Now Billy Corgan will just like start fucking knifing passengers after like 10 minutes.
You're like full of fucking cats. That ship.
You'll get like 50 miles off the coast, and he'll be like, "Just so you guys know, I'm not going to play anything off Siamese Dream. I'm only playing the new album. The whole cruise, guys. We are going to be interviewing Paul Scheer in just a few minutes.
Sweet. I'm super excited. Big league here.
Let's hear Napier's Shinedown story first.
Okay, so Mike says, "Hey, Mike, do you want to go to a concert?" And I say, "No, I don't want to go to a fucking concert." So he goes, "Okay, well, we're going to go to a concert." So me, him, and my little sister go to Point Fest. And during Point Fest, and keep in mind, I'm having a miserable fucking
time.
We
didn't go to Point Fest. We drove to Kansas City.
No. We went to Point Fest first.
No, we didn't. We went to Kansas City. And saw a festival show, and then we came back the next day and had free tickets to Shinedown and went to Point Fest the next day.
No, we went to the Kansas City place last. We went
how
to
long
Point
ago
Fest
is this?
First.
This is a long time ago. And it doesn't matter at all. It doesn't matter at all.
So we're at a concert.
But I'm right.
Okay, Mike is of course right, because why not?
It's the Mike Moore Show. Why wouldn't he be right?
So we go to a concert, and I'm having a horrible fucking time. And this cocksucker from Shinedown starts telling people to start spinning around in circles during his fucking performance. Like, oh, you got to be free, guys. Like, feel the wind. That's your dead loved ones. And he wants everybody to spin around to the wind. The people at the fucking Point Fest didn't give a shit. They just stood there and looked at him like he was a goddamn cocksucker. And they did nothing. They just sat there. We go to another concert, which was in Kansas City. And Shinedown cocksucker, I'm having a horrible time. I don't like the concert. I have to shit. I can't shit in public. I want to leave. Mike says, okay, Napes, if Shinedown dude does the spin around in a circle bullshit with all your family and friends that are dead or the wind, then we'll stay here for another couple of concert, another couple of bands. But if he doesn't do that, if he just plays his fucking song and then leaves, then we'll leave. And
keep
sure
in mind,
enough,
Shinedown was like it. We drove to Kansas City,
correct,
to see this show.
Okay,
Shinedown was like the fourth band for like an all day event. It was like 2 o'clock. And it went till 11 o'clock, and Napier was ready to go home.
Dude, hit the porta potty, dude.
At like 2 o'clock, it was like all the bands that like you go to see, the ones that come on later at night.
Yeah,
we didn't see any of those. Napier wanted to leave.
Do you know what I'd have told him? Fucking take a taxi. Fuck you.
Right.
I would have. Totally would.
Well, you should have, and not made Mike go home with you.
So he did the exact same thing again, and Napier had to hold his poop.
So who did you miss?
We got to see Buck Cherry. Who gives a fuck?
We left during Buck Cherry when he played Crazy Bitch. That gives everybody in the audience a license to be crazy bitches.
Uh-huh.
And I was sexually assaulted by a woman.
Oh.
She was getting his ass.
She grabbed my butt cheeks.
Like, not like, you know.
Was she attractive?
Accident.
She was not.
She was older.
She grabbed my...
Was she about 400?
She grabbed my butt cheeks, drunk.
No, she was an older, skinny broad.
No.
I was sexually assaulted during a Buck Cherry concert.
And she was smiling her fucking ass off. You know, like Mike invited it. You know what? He wasn't asking for it.
But, guys, I mean, hey, we have Paul Scheer coming up in just a minute, right?
Yeah.
So that's exciting. So let's do that. We'll be back to say bye here in a few minutes. On the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks Internet Radio Program. Thank you.
Bye.
This is Shadwick from Quiet Hollers, and you're listening to Strangelabel.com, or at least it is playing in the background of whatever it is that you're doing right now.
If you have a problem and no one else can help, and you don't defend their delicate sensibilities, maybe you can hire the Millennium AT.
Why are you body shaming me, Hannibal?
I'm not afraid to
Our guest tonight is Paul Scheer, an actor, comedian, writer whose special Crash Test can be downloaded now via Vimeo or iTunes. Go to crashtestshow.com for more information. He also stars on The League, which airs Wednesday night on FXX. Paul, thank you for being here.
Hi, Paul. Pleasure.
Hey, what's going on, Travis?
Excited to talk to you, buddy. It's been a long time coming, it seems.
Oh, yeah, I know. Thank you so much for being so amenable. I know my schedule's been quite awful.
You've been crazy busy lately. I see you everywhere. You've been a busy guy.
I'm trying to cram everything in. But yeah.
The new season of The League debuted this past...
It premiered 2 weeks ago, yeah. And so, the last season has started, and I'm really, really excited about this season. I know, like, most actors on shows will be like, oh, this season's the best. But I really feel like we have a really special moment here because we know that we're ending, and Jeff and Jackie have been really great at trying to create a fulfilling end of the show by bringing back like characters like Will Forte and Seth Rogen and Aziz and Hubel so many people. Even Neil Casey just came back this week, which has been really fun because we're kind of revisiting some of the mental patients that left the hospital now from last season. Like, we're seeing what they're doing now. So I think they're doing it in a really cool, clever way. And I'm excited to see people's reactions to some of the stuff we have coming up.
It is really bittersweet, though, because I was hoping you guys would go long enough to make the future with Rafi and Seth Rogen actually play out to be a reality.
Yeah, you know, I believe, though, that ending where we are right now is good because you don't want to be a show where people are like, oh, that's still on? You know, or a show that becomes, like, not important, like, for people. Like, I think that there's a finite amount of stories you can tell in any kind of show. And we've been very lucky because we only do about 12 episodes a year or 13 episodes a year. So we don't get to, like, really blow it all out all at once. You know, if we were a network show, we'd have to do, like, 24 episodes a season. And so we've gotten a really nice slow burn with the show, and it's been really great to kind of be able to, you know, make it last for as long as it has.
Is that why it's ending? You decided it was just time and you didn't want it to go on too long?
You know, for me, our contracts were up last year, and the cast and I, we were always talking about it and going like, all right, what do we want to do? Do we want it to be, you know, how many? Because they wanted us always to sign on for a lot more years. And I think as a cast, we all felt like, let's just do it 1 year at a time, and when we were talking about it, it just felt like this might be the right way to go. I don't know. And I'm sure FX had a lot to do with it too, you know, but it was just for us. I think we all felt like, all right, let's get out while the getting's good.
Before Dr. Andre becomes a lumberjack like Dexter.
a lot of you, I guess, have...
By the way, you don't even know how oddly close you are to a very big plot point that comes up later this season.
I guess a lot of you have gotten a little bit higher profile since the show started. I mean, Nick Kroll and you. I mean, you're in everything, Paul. How do you do all this stuff?
Well, you know, the benefit of the way things have been working is that you don't work all year round. You know, I only work for about 12 weeks out of the year with the league, and in the middle of that and on my hiatus weeks, I kind of work in fresh off the boat. And then when I do something like Hot Wives of Orlando or Hot Wives of Las Vegas, that's something where there's a lot of pre-production work. But then when we actually shoot the show, it's only about 7 days. And then I got to do another series called Filthy Sexy Teens. And that one we shot in about 10 days. So, you know, it's not the amount of time that these projects take in the execution is a lot less, so you're able to do a little bit more, you know. So I'm not working a million jobs all at once, although some weeks it may feel like that. A lot of the times I'm just kind of finishing one job and then starting the next. I'm kind of like a contractor. There's always one job still open that I need to finish, but I'll start another job just to make sure I get money so I don't go bankrupt.
That's kind of the norm with cable is like a 10, 15 episodes, except that Charlie Sheen show, the first season was 10 mm-hmm. episodes, and then they renewed it for a second season, and the second season was 90 episodes. They had a
They used to do this thing. This thing called the 10 to 90 or something like this. It was like you were selling a show to a network because they knew that the real money is in syndication. So they would say to them, look, if we can provide this show for you and it gets X amount on the ratings, then you pick it up for 90 and then we'll be done. And you have a 7-season show or whatever you have because you can play those reruns, you know, ad nauseum. And, you know, there's been plenty of examples that haven't worked. You know, I think there was a show with Chris Gethard on Comedy Central called Big Lake, and that was a 10-90 show, you know. So, you know, it's a tremendous amount of pressure, but TBS and Tyler Perry do a lot of those 10-90 shows, like For Richer or Poorer and all those other shows. They all just get picked up for 90 episodes, and I don't understand necessarily the economics of it, but I know that from talking to the actors, they kind of love it because they bang out the whole show in about a year and a half.
Right.
They work every day for about a year and a half, and then they have no fear of cancellation, and you just can write and produce your stuff. There's a real great freedom to it, but I think it only works in certain types of shows, like multicam.
Well, it's got to keep you in
shows.
The public consciousness then, too, because while you are creating those other projects that people are not going to see for a while, you're still in their living rooms.
Yeah, very good point. Yeah, indeed.
I was thinking about this the other day when we were talking about having you on the show. You've kind of, like, you've guested on just about every show on television. You're kind of like I made the connection in my head. I said he's kind of like a comedic Richard Jenkins. It's kind of like
I will take that comparison. I love Richard Jenkins, and I appreciate that. Yeah, that's special.
Do you think that, like, you have your own fan base in your own right, but, like, through various cameos and Xbox commercials and MTV appearances, what percentage of the U.S. population do you think, like, knowingly or not, has seen your face? Do you think just about everybody?
I don't ever want to sound like a real jerk, but I think I have a hard face to forget.
Right, right. You have a distinct look.
I think I have some defining features. So, like for example, I have had many experiences where I have been standing next to Rob Hubel, and people will come up to me and go, I love Human Giant. Human Giant's amazing. Can you take a picture of me and him? And I'm like, that's Rob. He was in Human Giant. They're like, oh.
They hand Rob the camera?
And that has happened because I think that I just have you can't miss me, I think, as much as other people. So I think people feel like they have seen me around. Like, oh, I've seen that guy with the gap tooth and the bald head or whatever, you know. So I just feel like sometimes I'm definitely more of the unicorn of it, because I think it's hard. Like, I don't think there's anyone you'd be like, oh, he looks like that other person, which, besides Rob Corddry, you know, I think people don't kind of get me confused. So, yeah, I think a lot of people then, you know, I at least register, like, oh, I've seen you somewhere. But for me, a lot of the times, it's less like, oh, you were on 30 Rock, and more like, did you go to high school with me, my sister? You know, I'm like, no.
I've seen,
like,
your face
and then,
somewhere.
And then it becomes this, it becomes this awkward moment of, no, I didn't. Well, I know you, right? I don't think you do.
Oh, how amazing
what do you
is
do?
That? where you have to tell them what you know, what they know you from.
It's not amazing. It's embarrassing.
You wear a T-shirt with a QR code that links to your IMDb profile.
I can't tell you how many times I've been in a moment where people are like, well, what do you do? What have I seen you in? And then I get nervous. I'm like, all right, well, I don't know. Have you seen The League? And they're like, no, I don't watch TV. What else? And then you just start sitting there listing your credits, and there's no other job where you have to, like, I don't know. That's the ever? No.
The next time this happens.
Fresh off the boat? No.
When somebody says this, the next time, all you have to do is say, have you ever seen Game of Thrones?
You don't have to justify yourself to these people.
I did a movie with Jerry O'Connell, and he made me laugh because he said, you know, whenever you're shooting anything, especially a movie, people will come up to you and be like, oh, what are you shooting? And they'll have no idea because it's not out yet. Like, you know, it's like, you know, and so Jerry would do this thing that would make me laugh all the time. They'd be like, oh, hey, what movie are you shooting? He'd be like, Jerry Maguire 2. And people go, oh, cool. And walk away from it. But it's that thing, you know, it's like, people want to connect and, but I'll let people tell me that I'm Rob Corddry, 100%. People will be like, oh my God, I love you on The Daily Show. And I'm like, thank you. And I know Rob has had people say, I love you on NCSF. He's like, thank you. And like last night I was at an event and someone's like, Paul F. Tompkins, you are hilarious to me. And I was like, thank you so much. You know, and Dave Koechner, same thing. Like, me, Koechner, and Corddry are the one bald man in Hollywood. We are each other, and we are, yeah, so we all accept each other's compliments.
Please watch me and Hot Tub Time Machine.
Exactly. Believe me. You know, as long as they're not coming up to me going like, you know, you had sex with my daughter, I'm happy. Whatever compliment you want to give me, I'll take a Hot Tub Time Machine compliment. That show's great. That movie was great.
So Crash Test is available on Vimeo. It's on crashtestshow.com.
Well, yeah, actually right now, it's also available on iTunes. So for those who could not figure out Vimeo, which I think is very easy to figure out, you can now also get it on iTunes. And I'm actually really excited about this because, you know, Rob Hubel and I, we did Human Giant together, and we do this live show at UCB all the time, and we thought to ourselves, like, hey, how can we do what we do live on stage on, TV? Like, because they only have, like, two types of specials, you know? They really just have sketch shows and stand-up comedy specials. They don't have what we do, which is kind of more bit and performance-based and characters. And so Ben Stiller teamed up with us, and we decided to do a comedy show on a moving bus. And it's kind of a bus like you can't really imagine. You would never really see. It's all glass. And the stage is the street. And we drove around L.A. for one night, and we did this improvised comedy special with our friends like Aziz and Corddry and Aubrey Plaza and Tom Lennon and Ben Garant and Seth Morris and Earl Sweatshirt, this crazy group. And we did it all in one take. And we just edited it down to the best 51 minutes.
The bus is very impressive. What do they use those buses for when they're not doing comedy specials on them? Is that like New York tours?
The bus is actually part of a tourist attraction in New York called The Ride. And that's how I saw it. Like, Rob and I had always joked about doing Crash Test on a bus. Instead of the comedians coming to our theater, we would go to their houses. And when I saw that bus when I was back home over winter break, I was like, Rob, I found the bus. And I took a picture of it, and we're like, we got to get this bus. Now, getting the bus from New York to L.A. was pretty much 75% of our show budget, because that bus is not a hybrid. It is sucking up gas. It has to be driven across country and then driven back again. And we only used it for one night, so we had very limited time with the bus, but it was really a really special time.
And you consistently do shows at UCB every Monday night?
Every other Monday night, Rob and I host a show called Crash Test, which is like a stand-up show, and really just a show for Rob and I to kind of goof around in. It's been something that we started back in 2005 at UCB in New York. And then I do another show also with Rob Hubel called Facebook, where you take people's Facebook profiles and we improvise scenes. And I've been doing that show with Rob Riggle and Jack McBrayer and Seth Morris, who you might know as Bob Duca from Comedy Bang Bang, and a whole bunch of other people, Jason Mantzoukas and Nick Kroll, oftentimes.
And it's all improvised. It's different every time.
Facebook is 100% improvised. Crash Test, I would say, is 85% improvised. like the non-improvising parts of Rob and I going backstage going, what do you want to talk about? Okay, yeah, yeah. If you talk about that, then I'll bring up that I saw this. And that's pretty much the writing of Crash Test.
But it's like, do you feel staying consistently busy and doing improv and stuff like that, like, keeps creative juices flowing? Because, I mean, me and Travis were just talking about, like, it seems like if you, like, turn it off for a while and, like, relax, then, like, it dullens or, like, it fades.
It's just that much harder to get back into, it feels like, if you stop.
You know what it is? To me, it's always great to have an outlet. You know, UCB has always been there for me. When I was an actor that wasn't getting hired and wasn't working this consistently, I had a place to perform and feel like I had an audience. And I love going back there because it's a freedom. It's a total relaxed thing. It's like a stand-up going to do a set at his own place. And I can't describe it more than just saying it's home, and no matter what's going on in my life, career, anything, it's a chance to just get up there and play. And there's no stakes besides having a good time and trying to do the best show that you can do. And that's something that I feel really passionate about. And I want to continue doing that because I think when you stop performing on stage, you start to get afraid that you're going to maybe fail. And then when you get afraid that you're going to fail, then you stop making choices that are at least, you stop making more milquetoast choices. And so I want to be somebody who's always at least getting in, seeing new shows. I don't know, working with people that I don't know and being inspired by them. I don't want to cut that off. And even though I have a child right now and it's a pain in the ass to do a midnight show and then wake up at 6 a.m, I would never give that up because of the amazing, freedom it gives me. It makes me feel, you know, for lack of being overdramatic, I mean, it makes me feel like alive, you know, to have that.
It seems like your entire career is really based around that, though, as you surround yourself with your friends and you guys just play. I mean, it seems like everything that you do is very true to what you are interested in and your peer group is interested in. I mean, you can tell that it's what you want to be doing. I mean, that has to be amazing.
It is. I mean, look, I think that the UCB has taught us well. Like, you know, they really have, like, ingrained it in us to do your own shows, to make your own, you know, make your own music. And you know, that, I think, has inspired me to be a little bit more fearless in creating a show and not being as precious about every little detail. Because you can get washed away in waiting, and I think you can get washed away in trying to perfect something. You know, all you can do is just go in with the best intentions and do it for the best that you can. And, you know, and that's not to say that everything should be done on the same level, but I don't ever want to become stagnant. And I look up to people like Will Ferrell, who is someone who is doing so many amazing things. He bops between doing giant mainstream Hollywood movies. Then he'll go to doing like a movie all in Spanish, and then he'll do these small dramatic indies, and then he'll be on Broadway, and then
I haven't watched it yet.
Neither have I. And it's, to me, that's the career that I feel like you want to be emulating. Someone who feels like they can be bouncing between everything and not beholden. You know, I think that there's so many people, and without naming names, you see certain comedians not want to perform anymore, not get out there and take risks. And it's, you know, as a fan, it's a bummer. But then you look at people like Bill Murray, who I think is one of the most interesting actors, comedians, whatever. Like, he's a guy who's continually taking chances and just living this life. And, you know, I don't know, maybe I'm speaking bigger than I actually do, but I just think I don't know why I'm in it is to play. I'm in it to have fun. You know, the money, if it comes, great. But I've done so much stuff not for money that I think have paid off more in my career. I don't think that money necessarily equates to success. And I think that good work does. And that's kind of what I try to chase more than anything else.
Damn it, Travis. Do you feel motivated? I feel motivated.
I feel really motivated. That I really
Let's do
that.
Stuff, Travis.
We're doing it.
Time starting, to get back on the bike, man.
Starting tomorrow, Mike.
We're doing it. Paul, thank you so much for doing that. The League on FXX, crashtestshow.com.
Hey, Paul, can I pitch you something real quick?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, sure.
A follow-up to Crash Test. It's not a bus this time. You get on an Amtrak train and travel across the country.
Amtrak? You know what? You're already at one step ahead of you. I mean, we have talked about doing it on a duck boat. We have talked about doing it on an airplane. I think if we could find the right train car and the right people that could go along for a... I don't think we could do cross country. I think people would get tired of us. But
what's a duck boat? Paul, I don't know what a duck boat is. Somebody tell me what a duck boat is.
They drive on the road and then you drive them into the water.
Oh my God! It can do both.
Yes.
Dude, you got to do that.
Yeah.
I don't know, Paul. I think people would.
Pretty amazing.
I think people would want to spend the week with you. 311 does a 311 cruise where people stay on a boat with 311 for an entire week.
I have heard all about it. I've heard about the Weezer cruise. I've also heard about the Jethro Tull. I don't know. Yeah, there's a lot of cruises. I don't know. I think we would lose our mystique.
Thank you so much, Paul.
Thank you so much. Thanks for spending the time.
Thanks, Paul.
Guys, how great was that?
What a guy. Man, he's amazing.
Seriously, he couldn't have been like a nicer guy.
I know, a friendly guy.
He just exudes class.
I watched the Crash Test special. Go get it. It's pretty great. They're doing a thing on a bus. It's fun.
It's on iTunes now, so it's easy to get.
Right. So I wanted to tell you guys, and this might be public knowledge, but it was fucking news to me, all right? Apparently, Matthew McConaughey has a brother named Rooster. Did you know that?
Nope.
Is that common knowledge? Does everybody know about Matthew McConaughey's brother, Rooster?
I did not know that.
Well, apparently, this was on like the TMZ, and it caught me by surprise. He's an older fella. He's like maybe Matthew McConaughey's age. Matthew McConaughey has a brother named Rooster, and he named his son Miller Lite. Listen to this fucking guy talk. Just listen to him talk.
Hey.
The reason I named him Miller Lite, everybody said, hey, you're going to be able to carry that Miller Lite around with you everywhere once you have another kid because it's a felony. And I said, man, if things work out, I'll be able to take Miller Lite to church.
Right.
And it did.
He did your wife say anything about his
drunk
or
was that Matthew McConaughey?
I do, yeah, because he's on that Texas Oil Business Investors Club or whatever.
He has a reality show.
It's on after Shark Tank on CNBC. It's awesome.
The guy's name is Rooster.
Forgot.
Yeah,
goddamn.
It kind of sounds like Dale from King of the Hill.
No, that's Boomhauer.
I love that clip so much. It's like, not only does Matthew... Do you think Matthew McConaughey's like, oh, God damn it. My goddamn brother's going out there. Do you think he's embarrassed by it? Or do you think he just doesn't give a fuck? Do you think
McConaughey gives zero fucks?
Do you think he's out like there Yarmir Yager in it? He's like, I don't give a fuck. Yeah, I got a brother named Rooster. Who gives a shit?
He's like super rich, too.
How do you name one kid Rooster and then name the other kid Matthew?
How do you know Rooster?
Wouldn't you feel like you got gypped?
How do you know he didn't legally change his name to Rooster?
That's a good point. Maybe his given name wasn't Rooster. Maybe
right.
he just
it could
thought
have been
that was,
Michael McConaughey.
Can I change my name to Rooster? Do I have to write an essay? Isn't that what you got to do?
Well,
no, you just got to pay like $350.
No, Steve wanted to change his name to And I'm Blowed.
We had a guy on our hockey team who...
owes me $400, by the way.
Oh, he does?
Yeah.
Why does he owe you $400? Does it involve something that we can't talk about on our...
pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
Fair enough.
If anybody has questions as to what that means, his jersey said, And I'm Blowed on it. And everybody on the hockey team had like the silly name on the back of their jersey. And our friend Chris Dick... had Dick on the back of his jersey, and they told all of us, hey, if your jersey has inappropriate shit on the back of it, you can't wear it. And Chris Dick went and got his driver's license and said, fuck you, that's my last name, I'm wearing my Dick jersey. And so Steve Miller, whose jersey said, And I'm Blowed on it, said, well, shit, the only way to get around this, obviously, is to file legal paperwork to have my middle name changed to Steve and I'm Blode Miller.
Correct.
That seems completely reasonable.
He paid $350 so that he could wear a $20 hockey jersey in a rec hockey league.
Once.
And the judge denied it. So
said no.
Yeah. But I feel like my justification for being renamed Rooster, you know, because it's my public persona. Rooster from the
Wheelbarrow. So what did the back of your jersey say?
I don't remember.
It wasn't
Shoza, probably.
I don't remember what it was.
I bet it was Shoza.
I bet it was more.
Something lame.
Puss Gush. Puss Gush the goalie, squishing around the rink.
But guys, that's a good story. And I just wanted to tell you that there is a person out there
who
looks a lot like Matthew McConaughey, is related to Matthew McConaughey. His name is Rooster, and he named his son Miller Lite. And Miller Lite is 9 years old.
Is Miller Lite hyphenated, or is that like a form together word, Miller Lite?
I think Lite is his middle name.
Oh, so it's not like Lee Ann or something like that?
I'm not really too sure on the specifics of Miller Lite and how his name is actually put together. I was just really fucking excited about it.
Excellent.
So, Drunk, I mean, you know, is there anything that you really want to tell the people? I mean, you've been gone for a while. Do you maybe want to get anything off your chest? I mean, like, did anybody tweet to you in this time that you want to say fuck you to or anything like that? It's all good?
Yeah.
You're just chill?
Just chill.
See, Mike, you were looking for a life coach all this time and you had one.
Drunk, will you be my life coach?
Oh, yeah. I did. Didn't some lady tell you to piss off on Twitter?
No, the life coach, she blocked me.
She blocked you.
Yeah.
So, what do you need life coached with?
I just want to be happier.
Okay.
How can I be happier, Drunk?
I told him to do the things that make him happy.
Eat less fatty foods and work out more.
Working out will make me happier, you think?
Either that or sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
I've tried working out, and it wasn't fun. I didn't enjoy it.
Then
why would that make me happy?
You gotta go the other way. Heroin.
Does heroin make you happy?
Yes.
I thought heroin like made you like really, really sad.
No, you just look fucked up. The dude's happier than shit.
Yeah.
Like while you're on heroin.
Yeah.
But then like when you're not on heroin, like
you're not happy.
You're not happy at all. Happy.
No, you just gotta go get some more.
Yeah, you just keep filling the tank up. Tank runs dry, fill it back up. It's like a car. Except for it's heroin.
I think you just keep that cycle up till you die.
Yeah, which won't be very long. There are not old heroin addicts. You never seen a great heroin, I promise.
Travis, I don't think that's good advice.
I would probably stay away from that. But I guess if you were going to go with a controlled substance, heroin would probably be better than like cocaine, which totally burns up all of your dopamine really fast.
Why don't you try drinking?
Yeah, something stronger than that sangria you got there.
So cocaine doesn't make you happy?
It does while you're doing it. And then when you stop, you're miserable for about a week and a half.
That's the same as heroin.
You can try LSD. I heard LSD ain't that bad.
Or you can just stick to marijuana and booze like I do. I mean,
would you say you're a happy person?
I wouldn't say I'm unhappy.
I guess that's really all you can expect.
That's the win right there. You wouldn't say you're unhappy. That's a win.
Yep.
Try drinking heavily.
Just getting really drunk?
Not like
8 hours of sleep a day. That'll change your life right there for sure.
I don't have time for that.
You have plenty of time for that. You just don't make time for it.
Yeah, dude, Mike, you need to get super fucking wasted.
If this is
going to
work, you have to make time for yourself. And whether that's sleeping
or
working
out. You probably
need
to get yourself a better bed. And that's probably a thing, too.
A nice pillow top.
Like, pick a time like 10 hours before you're supposed to be at work. Hour 10 hits, you just start downing shots until you get sleepy. Once you get sleepy, you go to bed. And all of a sudden, you'll notice you're getting 9 to 8 hours of sleep every night.
Huh.
And since you're drunk, you don't move, so you're just in the same position all night. And nothing hurts.
You're out. You are fucking out.
And half of that sleep is no good.
Which is better than what you were getting, which is, hey, half of nothing is nothing. Half of eight is still four. Do the math.
Travis, what did we learn today? Did we learn anything?
Well, I think we learned that if you would like to enjoy a complete life, you would go and get a crash test on Vimeo or iTunes.
Yeah, yeah, I can see that.
Keep busy, follow your dreams, and every day is a play day. Like Paul Scheer, just surround yourself with people who you want to play with.
I feel like we need to keep like the muscle going. You know what I mean? We gotta keep creating. Because if we stop creating, then maybe we won't be able to anymore.
Don't stop or we'll die.
Like, are you saying, like, if you don't jerk off every once in a while, you stop producing jizz? Because I hope not. Well, I mean, I'm not stopping,
in certain things.
Well,
Napier, what did you learn? Did you learn anything?
I learned that I probably like drinking more than I should.
Yeah.
But I like it, so there.
Right.
Also, you should watch Dragon Ball Z Abridged and become Vegeta.
Drunk?
I learned the name of the show is still the same. I learned nothing much changes, and you guys still love me and want me back. So here I am.
See, the thing is, like, when Drunk wasn't here, I was sad that he wasn't here. But now that he's back, I just wish he'd go away again.
I think it's because he disagrees with you on occasion, and that's more.
Maybe that's just part of my unhappy life, is like I'm never happy with what I have. Like, now that Drunk's here, there's nothing in the world I want more than Drunk to not be here.
Man, why did he even show up?
That sounds very like...
I was so hoping that he was not coming.
That sounds like something a 16-year-old girl would say, like when they break up with their boyfriend, like, oh, now he's gone and I'm sad.
Guys, I'm excited. Spooky Month is coming back. The Flat Drunk Contest will be coming back. We have so much more stuff to go. We have our new running thing. The Millennial A-Team will be going on indefinitely. We're excited about that. So much more to come. Stay tuned. WFODix.com, StrangeLabel.com, live on Monday nights. Thank you all for listening. Napier.
Well, that's my mama.
I want you to know it's over.
Well, bye.
Thank you for listening. You can hear us live every Monday night at 9, 8 central on StrangeLabel.com. You can download all of our past episodes as well as other goodies at WFODix.com. Pull up our show on iTunes, Stitcher, or the TuneIn app. You can follow us on Twitter at WFODix. You can also follow Travis at ProduceTravis or Drunk at DrunkardSTL. We are on Facebook, facebook.com/WFODix. You can email us at WFODshow@gmail.com. Or you can give us a call when we're live or leave us a message that we may play later on. That phone number is 636-487-4263. Again, thank you for listening. We will see you back here next week.